have already mentioned, it is so good to be with you, worshiping the Lord, and now even to minister from God's Word. Because you are a praying church for me and the ministries in India, as you have already heard from our dear brother, just a little bit of information I will give it to you. First, the lockdown in India is extended up to August 31, and some places it is called a red zone. It is very strict, especially some of the areas where we have orphanages in the northeast India. And so in some places where we have seen, we thought that during the pandemic, lockdown, persecution will be less. But it is not so. Persecution is more in some places. And as I told at the worship time, in our knowledge, during the last 2 years, 10 people known to us were murdered. And we are trying to take care of their widows, their children, in different places. Now, because of this COVID-19 problems, people cannot go to church. And of course, church buildings in India is not special, it's like this. It will be a small bamboo house or something. And so where 100, 200 people sitting together would be difficult. Yet, some of them are gathering and worshiping the Lord. Now, not only the evangelists, church elders, and also the church members are really in difficulty. They do not have money to buy their rice and groceries, and the Lord is miraculously providing. Now, in spite of this persecution, as I have mentioned already, we have seen 17 baptisms among the Koya people. Koya is a tribe that is unreached in Andhra Pradesh. They were baptized because they accepted Christ as Savior. And our team of evangelists in the leadership, with the leadership of Kiran Kumar, whom some of you have seen, and he is traveling and sleeping in those villages, even though these are areas of many fanatics, but they are taking the risk, but they are trying to be as careful as they can be. And people are coming to the Lord, accepting Christ as their Savior. We have 15 children homes in different parts of India. And against my will, I am here, stuck in the States because of there is no international flight also to India. Now there are flights, but that is mainly for repatriation flights. And so while I am here, I am doing writing and sending messages to people to encourage them. And at the same time, not only writing, but also talking to people, and the Lord has helped us to provide food, emergency needs for about 300 people in the month of April, May, June, and July. And this July, we have already helped about 80 families. So God is really good and faithful, and thank you so much for prayers. I am doing fine, and my wife, as you know, you prayed for her. She was having cancer, and the treatment is just over. She has to go again for a test on Tuesday, but no complication. So these are some of the reports, and thank you all so much for praying. In our limited time, I want to draw your attention to one very important thought. It's a Bible study, not a preaching. That many people were asking me, this question does not come only from non-Christians, but it comes from Christians also. It comes from conservative Christians, and they are troubled from every side. They are asking this question, is this the end of the world? Is this the end of the world? It seems many Christians also are living in fear because they don't know what's going to happen. Then naturally you can imagine I had a letter from a friend of mine in Bangalore asking me to give a message of 20 minutes in audio or video and telling what are the things that are going to happen and how can I counsel that man who is a non-Christian that this is not the end of the world, this is the time given for the salvation. So I am preparing on that. And I am so glad that I could come here. As you know, I don't drive myself, but I am so glad that Brother Jacob Thomas always take the trouble of coming and picking me up from my home there in Glen Allen. Now, I will read few verses only. Living without fear. In other words, this is not the end of the world, but this is the end times. But this is not the end of the world, this is the end times. Living without fear. Why? Because your redemption is near. These are the things that I want to dwell in our Bible study. I will repeat. Living without fear. This is not the end of the world. But we live in end times. And when you see these signs which are around us, lift up your eyes. Your redemption draws nigh. As a stepping stone, as a platform, I will give you only some points from John chapter 14. Then we go to Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. These are the only three chapters we will go through today in a limited time. In John chapter 14, we find few reasons why our hearts should not be troubled. You know it, but just to freshen our memory. There are five things in that chapter. John chapter 14. Verse 1 to 3, we read the number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you will be. Here you find two reasons why our heart should not be troubled. We should not live in fear. I will tell it in the end, not in the beginning. But first I will tell you some of the other things John has said in this chapter. And we will go to another verse. Verse 6, where it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes, Father, except through me. People don't have to be afraid because we have a Savior. Very simple. We have a Savior. Number 2, verse 16. There we find, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. We have a helper, or we have a companion. We have a helper. That is Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who goes side by side with you. So number 1, we have a Savior. Number 2, we have a Comforter. Number 3, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you remembrance all things that I said to you. You have a teacher. You have a teacher. You cannot understand the scripture by yourself, but you have a teacher. We depend on him. And the next one is, we find verse 28. Verse 28. You have heard of me saying, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now, you connect it in verse 3. He is telling that he's going away. But now, what do we find in verse 3? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So, this is very interesting again. This is where I want to dwell more. Number one, you have a Savior. Number two, you have a companion. Number three, that is in verse 2, you have a home. And then we find verse 26, you have a teacher. And then in this chapter we find at least, let me see how many times it is written, you have a God whom you can trust. We were singing that song, we have a God whom we can trust. Here I have written down somewhere, yes, verse 1, 10, 11, and 12. Verse 1, 11, 10, and 12. Five times the word is written, believe in me. Believe in me. We have a God that we can trust. Now, outline of this one I will be preparing, and anybody is interested, I will be sending it to you. That is from this chapter. But this only introduction. Why we should live without fear? I repeat here. We have a God, or the Lord we can trust. Number two. The Lord who is our Savior. Three. We have the Lord who answers our prayers. That is verse 12 to 14. And then we have a helper, Holy Spirit. And then we have a home he is preparing for us, and he is going to come again. Now, systematically, you will hear it later when I will be sending you the message. So that means we can live without fear based upon this chapter itself. But that is not my subject today. Why do I say this is not the end of the world? Why I say this is the end times but not end of the world? Okay, let us go to two chapters. And those two chapters are Matthew chapter 24, beginning onwards. We read Matthew chapter 24. Verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7. If any of you see it before I do, you can read. Okay. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. See, in John chapter 14 also it says, let not your heart be troubled. Same thing. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And it says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be families and pestilences. There is pandemic, would be there. But this is not the end. Now, we find the same thing in Luke chapter 21 also. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. There we see it is repeated again after telling so many things. To tell these are the end times, what are the end time signs? There are so many written there. False prophets will come. Love of the church will wax cold. Earthquake will be there. Pestilences will be there. rumors of wars will be there. Many will come in my name saying they are Christ. But is it the end? No. Luke 21, did I say verse 9? Luke, because we need to read ourselves this verse that I am taking time, verse 9. 21, verse 9. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. But the end will not come immediately. It will not come immediately. But then continue to read the whole chapter, Luke chapter 21. Let us read verse 25 onwards. Why this is not the end? Verse 25. I am reading Luke 21, verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear. Did you see the difference? Let not your heart be troubled, but the people of the world, their hearts will be melting in fear. And the expectation of those things which are coming in the earth, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and glory. Now, this is a key verse, verse 28. When these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. When these things happen, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled is repeated in John chapter 14. But in chapter 12, Jesus said, my heart is troubled. That's a very interesting study. Then in the Garden of Gethsemane also, he said, my heart is troubled. Is the Bible wrong? Not at all. Why my heart should not be troubled? Because the heart of Jesus was troubled for me. He took my pains. He took my sorrows. He took my fears. He took my judgment. He took my wrath. He took everything upon him. That's why he underwent all the troubles. So dearly beloved, when all these things happen, let your heart not be troubled, because you have a Savior who was troubled. He who knew no sin took our sin, our burdens, our fears, our doubts, and everything. He died, he rose again, he lives in heaven. I am giving only a condensed form. Now let us go. Therefore, remember, this Jesus, whose heart was troubled, he has the right to say, you should not be troubled. You should not live in fear. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world you shall have tribulations. Now I am going to discuss only two points before I close. That is verse 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to myself. Till that time, you have nothing to fear. When will that time be come? I am going to give some practical information about this. Many people ask me, the battle of Armageddon is coming. I said, no. Battle of Armageddon is not coming. Battle of Armageddon is not coming. The rapture of the church is coming. But then they get confused. Some people tell me, no, Battle of Armageddon should come, and then what would happen? There will be, church will be taken. Those who believe in rapture also, they think Battle of Armageddon will come first. No, it will not come. Therefore, dearly beloved, I would give you an outline of two battles. Two battles. One is called Gog Magog War. It is written Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 and Psalm number 83. Gog Magog War. That is going to be the first war. And the second one is Battle of Armageddon. And that is written in Revelation chapter 19. Joel chapter 2, chapter 3, Zechariah chapter 14, and some more verses. Those of you who want to study in detail, you can go to those verses. Two battles. Gog, Magog War, Battle of Armageddon. This is the fear of many people these days. That's why they are trembling. Even Christians. But what does the Bible say? And here is the outline. The next happiest and the greatest thing that I am going to see is the rapture of the church of Jesus. But there will be wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, and all the things that are mentioned, including tsunami that happened. And also other tsunami will come. All these things will happen. But when you see this sign, remember, it is a preparation for the Lord to take you home. So the first thing that is going to happen is the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. Then what happened? The restrainer is taken away. Restrainer means the church. Will be taken away. That you will read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. And then you go to 2 Thessalonians, we find after the restrainer is taken away, that means at the beginning of the tribulation, there will be the Gog Magog War. Preparations will all go on, everything would be there. But there will be Gog Magog War immediately following the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. That does not mean there will be no war. China is preparing, America is preparing, India is preparing, Japan is preparing, and all over the world. It will happen. When Spanish flu came in 1918, people thought that is the end of the world. Second World War came. They called it Spanish flu. Why? Because Spain was the only country that was not in that First World War time. You read the history. I'm not going into any kind of political statement about China virus and all that, that's a different story. But what I mean is that people are afraid when calamities come. You should not be afraid. Okay. So, Battle of Armageddon will come at the beginning of the tribulation. Did I say Battle of Armageddon? No. Battle of Gog Magog War will come at the beginning of tribulation. But the Battle of Armageddon will come at the end of when? 1,000 years rule. Why? Satan is bound for 1,000 years. There will be no war. Jesus will rule. There will be peace. Satan will be loosed for a short time. Revelation chapter 20. Beginning from verse 1 to 6. Then he will deceive all nations, and that will be the time of Battle of Armageddon. Let me tell 9 differences. It's a Bible study. But whenever we make any statement about the future, we will not be dogmatic. Because nobody knows exactly, but we need to know. At least we should have our own understanding. My understanding in the study of my Bible for the last 60 years is here I conclude. However, remember, I will not be dogmatic. But as I understand, I know the battle of Armageddon, number one. I told you the Bible verses where it is written. Ezekiel 38, 39, and Psalm 83. Battle of Armageddon, you can write in two columns. Battle of Armageddon, Revelation 19, Zechariah 14, Joel 3, some more verses which I am not telling. Number one, one difference. Battle of Armageddon is at the beginning of tribulation, immediately after the rapture. But the battle, I think I'm making always mistake. Battle, always, even if I make that mistake, remember, the first is the battle of Gog Magog War. Gog Magog War is the beginning of tribulation. But the battle of Armageddon at the end of 1,000 years. So how many gap? 1,007 years. Number two, in the Gog Magog War, specific names of the countries mentioned. Northern Kingdom, they say Russia. Then Middle East countries, some of them. But in the Armageddon, all nations. Number three, in the Gog Magog War, led by the three trinity, Satan, false prophet, and Antichrist. But in the last one, only Satan, he is deceiving all the nations. Number four, battle of Gog Magog War is against Israel. But the battle of Armageddon is against Jesus the Messiah, who is the Prince of Peace. Next one, number five. Gog Magog War is a physical war, visible war. Weapons will be used. Against specific nations. But the battle of Armageddon, no. There is no war. Physical. Fire comes down from heaven and burns. Number six. After the Gog Magog War, for 7 months, it will take for them to bury the dead. And 7 years, there will be firewood for people to make their fire. But after the battle of Armageddon, no. Birds of the sky will be eating the corpses that are remaining. It was by fire, it was destroyed. Number eight. In the Gog Magog War, at the end of it, Antichrist and the false prophets will be cast into the lake of fire. But that will be when? Of course, you know, Antichrist will be ruling those 7 years. And when you think about the span of God's time, there are times that you don't have to tell 1 year is this many weeks and all that. They will be cast into the lake of fire. But Satan, though he is in the pit, He is going to be loosed for some time. That is Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 to 6. Now, one more difference I would tell you. Purpose. Purpose of the Gog-Magog war. What was the purpose? Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 say, to spoil, to plunder, and to prey. That means to plunder the land, to take away the riches. And that's what is happening. It's already being prepared. The landlocked countries like Russia, Iran, and few other countries, they have no approach to the ocean. They are looking for it. And so they have to fight in order to get against Israel. Landlocked countries. Names are all written there in the Bible. You can read it. And the second thing is that to plunder the land. Plunder means what? Robbing. What robbing? Minerals. The richest minerals in the world now, they say, is near the Dead Sea and in the Dead Sea. And that is why this battle will be fought, Gog-Magog war. However, purpose of the last battle, Armageddon, is not for that. It's for what? Challenging Jesus, the righteous king, depose him. So these are the differences, and you know the time. In a limited time, I cannot explain more, but if we have got question, we can discuss about it. But then there is one thing. Purification of the earth, we have already seen. When Armageddon, fire comes, then what happened? Immediately it says, there will be a new heaven and new earth. That is the purification of the earth. New heaven and new earth. Then the Lord sits on where? On the great white throne. For sinners to be judged. All those who are dead in sin will be resurrected. That is called the second resurrection. Now that makes me ask a Bible study so I can explain this. What is first resurrection? First resurrection has got the following stages. Number one, Jesus rose again from the dead. First fruits of the resurrected. First fruits. Two, saints in Jerusalem, they were resurrected. You already read that. Number three, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. All those who are dead in Christ until the rapture, they will be resurrected. So how many? Three. Number four, after the tribulation, those people who continued to be faithful to God and because of two witnesses that were preaching, many of them were martyred. They also will be resurrected. That's also written there in Revelation chapter 20. Four things together, Bible scholars, I am talking conservative theologians, they say this is called the resurrection of first resurrection. And you will be among them. But the second resurrection is only of those people whose names are not found in the book of life. And they will be resurrected. Why they will be resurrected? When they died, did they not go to Hades? Yes, they went. But they need a promotion. What is that promotion? When they committed sin, they did not do sin only with their soul and with their mind. They committed sin with their body. And therefore, the Lord who is just will resurrect them. And they will be having bodies and promotion. And I say from the lockup to the central jail. Permanently. So that is what we happen. That is second resurrection. So we find very clearly. Now let me repeat, my point is, we have to answer the people of the world. This is not the end of the world. That's all my point. Because I am confronted with these questions every day. I am getting letters. So, I have to answer. And we also have to answer, this is not the end of the world. But then there is one thing. In Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21, it says that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the midnight. As a thief in the midnight. What does it mean? When the world is in the midnight hour. What is the midnight hour? Rumors of wars, pestilence, ethnic wars, and all these things come. The whole world in that kind of a turmoil, it is the midnight. So Bible scholars, they say, we are in the last few seconds or minutes of the midnight hour. We are in the end times. But that is not the end of the world. We are almost at the midnight when our bridegroom is going to come and take us to himself. Therefore, do not be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. I have gone to prepare a place for you. I will come and I will take you. That is John chapter 14. And so, dearly beloved, if it was a prophetic study, which is called eschatology, these are the points. Very simple. This is the age of grace that we are in. We are in the end times, and the age of grace is going to be over by the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. And we are going to be taken. Then the end times will continue with the following things. Gog Magog war. The tribulation time. The throne of his glory, which is mentioned in Matthew chapter 25 verse 31 to 46. Where he will divide sheep and goat, living nations and living nations, sheep and goat, good and bad nations. And then we find very clearly, dearly beloved, 1,000 years rule of the Lord Jesus Christ after Satan is bound. After Satan is bound, there is no war, there is peace all over the world. And by the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is loose for a short time, and he's angry. He will deceive all nations. Then comes battle of Armageddon, and the fire comes down from heaven and burns them. Of course, some scientific and theological collaboration people say about the nuclear war and all that, and I have not studied about that. God can bring literal fire also, but at the same time also, God can use the people to use this fire, whatever it is. Then there will be new heaven and new earth. As I conclude, why new heaven and new earth? Why new heaven and new earth? Romans chapter 8, verse 22, that is the reason. This whole earth is under sin, not willingly, unwillingly. That means the world was created so beautiful and without sin. But man is the cause that the whole air is vibrating with the sin of man. The photography of the sinful actions of people, all seen all over the world, it can be collected from the air. It is polluted. Therefore, Romans chapter 8, verse 22. The whole creation is groaning and asking the Lord, How long? How long? How long? And the Lord is telling, wait a little longer. Wait a little longer. I have some more people to be saved. Wait a little longer. God is not slack concerning his promises, as many people think. It is his long-suffering that you should witness and people should be saved. That's why during coronavirus, I cannot keep quiet. That is why during the pandemic, I should not shut up. And that is why during all lockdown period, if there is any chance, I will continue to worship the Lord. And I will preach about him. Again, let me repeat. Whatever we said, when it comes to eschatology or prophetic things, details may differ between theologians, but the outline is little bit flexibility may be there, but this is the way Book of Daniel, Book of Ezekiel, Book of Isaiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Joel, Revelation, and in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21 is written. May the Lord bless us that we will lift up our head. We will live joyfully, knowing, yes, we are in the end times, but this is not the end for us. May his name alone be glorified. Thank you, and God bless you. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you because you have given us provisions by which we can trust you. We have a God that we can trust. We have the Lord who gave us the comfort. We have a God who answers our prayers. We have a God who teaches us every day. And we have a Lord who prepares a home for us. We have the Lord who is going to come again for us. But you left us in this world as pilgrims. And there will be so many problems. But in the midst of this, we don't have to be living in fear. And we can lift up our eyes, our head, and sing that redemption song. My redemption is drawing nigh. Thank you, loving Father, for the wonderful word of God that can teach us every day. Help us to remember this and live joyfully, rejoicing in the Lord, and to comfort others, and to assure others that only those who accept Christ as their Savior, they will be safe forever. We are in that great ministry. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for today we could gather together to worship you. Now send us with your blessings. We give you all the glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.